Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to a broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. If you had opportunity to tune in last weekend, then you are aware that my very special guest was Pastor Tim Maddox, Senior Pastor of Northside Community Church here in Bakersfield. And this morning, I am delighted to share with you that Pastor Tim is back with me once again in the studio. Good morning, sir. Great to have you back.
Great to be back.
We're going to continue our conversation because last Saturday, we just ran out of time much too quickly. And let's begin by first and foremost turning our attention to the truth and the authority of Scripture as it relates to the subject matter of homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Why do you suppose, Pastor Tim, that many still, even today, still view homosexuality as the worst of any and all sins that a person could be involved in or commit?
You know, I'm not sure. I have some guesses. One of my guesses, I think it's portrayed a lot in maybe our sitcoms that are playing in the last decade or so, is that we are uncomfortable because we are scared. We are too. And so they often show someone abusing someone who is gay, and then they find out later that that person is gay. So that's kind of the cultural myth, I think, that's being passed around out there, that's what that is. So that would be fear, you know, that we're afraid of it. We make the most fun of it. I think apart from the church, just speaking as a man, that's what guys do. I mean, it's locker room talk, whatever it is.
Yes.
You know, so there's that thing, that machismo thing that us men have at times. And then in the church, the over-religious. And they have slipped into, I used to do a sermon called Cranky Hank every year, and he's over religious and he doesn't have, the grace is gone.
I see.
The grace is gone and he just knows what's right and wrong, and you better fit it or you're out, whatever it might be, you know, and that includes certainly homosexuality. So, I think there's a couple dynamics at work in that.
I really believe for those that would say that homosexuality is the worst of all sins, let's go to Scripture, and specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And in that passage, we see very clearly the Apostle Paul offers a catalog, if you will, of various behaviors. Many different behaviors are mentioned. Homosexuality is mentioned in the list, mm-hmm. but it's mentioned in the middle. And what does that clearly tell us? In God's eyes, it's just another sin. Now, that's per Scripture, and you would think that that would clear up the misconception that this is the biggie.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, yes. And I do think, people are more comfortable in general talking about other people's sin and not their own. And sin does create a blindness. They are in a state of denial in regard to some other sin. Say they're cheating on their taxes or something. And so they attack some other sin that's not
yes.
theirs.
Yes.
I remember someone talking about in the church, and this happens in every church, so this is probably a fair example for all ministries, but someone talking to me about, it was pornography, and I had a young lady come up, and we had a day, kind of a triple X church day. They deal with pornography issues. And so she came up, and she said, I just think that's so stupid that guys do that. I think they're just being stupid. Well, that's dismissing their struggle, just like any other struggle. Yes. And so I think people just have a tendency to do that. Although I knew in this person, there was actually a very destructive addiction at work, but they could not see. They could only see what they didn't do, and it was easy to pick on what you don't do.
Yes.
So I think that's it's a gospel sin issue. It's a grace and sin thing.
I really believe we have to acknowledge that within the body of Christ, regardless of denomination, we are what I would label as an epidemic of men and women, Christian men and women, that are struggling with a variety of forms of sexual and relational brokenness. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you agree with me. The church is really God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity. And for these many men and women that are struggling, whether it's heterosexual sexual addiction or same-sex attraction, they should be able to come into the church and be discipled, be loved, and walked with through a process of healing and wholeness and transformation. I clearly see that as the role of the church. How about you?
Yes, and I think in our church growth, and I'm certainly part of those that climate, is sometimes we have at the expense of clear gospel, clear teaching and preaching, we have really worked at just gathering crowds. And I am guilty of that. And I think most pastors probably are at times, you know, just that we've got to keep this crowd. And we're hesitant to thin the ranks with some strong stuff. So, yeah, I think it is it's a bugaboo that, you know, if we're not careful, we slip into it. And that's why this having a conversation with you even today is helpful to me.
Excellent. I believe also that we agree that with regard to homosexuality, we are, first and foremost, we're talking about people, not just an issue. And I really think what would help a lot today is to distinguish very carefully between acceptance and approval. As Christians, we accept all people. We're to love all people. Christians are not to hate anyone. Mm-hmm. So we accept all people, but that doesn't mean that we have to approve of how everyone is living, especially as Christians, if we see a man or a woman going down a pathway in life that we know ultimately is going to lead to a lot of heartache and despair. It just seems to me we have an obligation to go to them privately and say, you know what? I'm really concerned about you. Mm-hmm. There's a better way. Do we not have that responsibility?
We totally have that responsibility. And as I was sharing out of a sermon out of Matthew 7 about don't judge, really what he's saying in that passage is be careful how you judge. Because the whole New Testament is very confrontive. Paul is very confrontive, issue after
yes.
issue. And Jesus was very confrontive.
Yes.
So what he's not meaning, matter of fact, in the same passage, Jesus looked and turned and called people pigs and dogs. You know, so I mean, judge not, but be careful from what position you judge. So it's the position that we judge from, I think, that is the ongoing issue.
Yes.
And if we're living in some sort of state of denial, we can sound pretty self-righteous.
You're right.
And it's a virus that Christians get. It's the accidental Pharisees. It's what happens to us when we soak long enough in the church.
Yes.
And so we have to give inoculations against that on a regular basis, you know, penance, repentance, and seasons of that, and restoration, and all those kind of things, and
yes.
work hard at that.
Speaking of Pharisees and Sadducees, those would point a finger and say, oh, those gay people, let's back up just a moment. What did Jesus say? Except your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees and Sadducees, you will what? you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty clear. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yes, I would agree. Yes, yes. And that's the gospel, is that that utter dependence that we really have on God's incredible grace.
Yes.
And an acknowledgement of our sin. I do find we have a pretty easy believism culture, which has a potential for non-repentant followers of Christ, which creates a whole genre of people that are not growing in grace.
Yes.
And they live in kind of a world of denial, and their faith is kind of stuck. And so I think there's a lot of stuck Christians that really just need more exposure to the gospel, and they could be really used for the kingdom. And that's
absolutely.
And that's not just for pastors. That's all of us. Yes. That's all of us in any setting, any setting.
Whether we've been walking with Jesus for a day or 50 years, we are all in process of becoming more and more Christ-like. Mm-hmm. And I have found, and I was even sharing this just yesterday with a group of people, that process that we're all in is going to continue in each of our lives until we either go home to be with Jesus or he comes back to get us. Mm-hmm. What's the point? Brother, sister, relax and enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But once again, when it comes to the topic of homosexuality, if you challenge today, you have a different point of view or belief, many today are automatically labeled, falsely I believe, as hateful, a bigot, homophobic. Today, to be, quote, intolerant because you have a different point of view is very, very widespread. But for me, and I know many, many others, we're really, once again, we are defending God's character and the truth of his word. I would submit in many, many respects, we were kind of backed into a corner. Because when you have individuals on the subject of homosexuality now saying today that it's okay with God, and homosexual practice even has the blessings of Christianity, now we have a problem.
We do.
Because that contradicts the heart of the gospel. Do you agree?
Yes, totally. Totally. Yeah, I think that it's being portrayed, too. And our media is so uncivil in this issue. And intolerant, sort of a reverse intolerant.
Yes.
And immediately labeled as a hater. You know, that is so rampant, and it can only be, as Luther said, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know what I mean? To create a culture that do that. But we do know cultures can have absolute false beliefs that are evil, from German culture to opium addiction in the Chinese culture, going back. So we know it's possible that, that the culture that we live in has a value that it seeks to stamp out anything other than that.
I think, too, we need to look at this from a very practical standpoint. If I knew someone that was habitually committing adultery and I go to them and I confront or challenge, again, expressing there's a better way, I don't hate them. I'm voicing concern. Mm-hmm. I would have the same concern about an individual that's nightly drinking themselves into a stupor or habitually sticking a needle in their arm. It's not that I hate them. I'm concerned because God has a better way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about with regards to the church. I really believe at the core of the brokenness of same-sex attraction, we're talking ultimately about a spiritual problem that's always going to require a spiritual solution. And his name is Jesus. The view from where you sit, Pastor Tim, how would you say today we are doing in terms of the church? How are we doing in reaching to those with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction?
I'd say we're pretty weak. Maybe it's a self-confession. I'd say we're not being as clear as we ought to be that there is help, there is another way. There's his way. I like, referring to the title of your ministry. I do believe that we have to work continuously at clearing it up for people, because confusion, I think, is one of the most detrimental things in the act of discipleship itself, because we were just talking about discipleship, if you want to say the word sanctification, that process after we become a believer that God works on us. And I think in that process, if that's being done right, people will naturally come to understand that they're not homosexual. I think Rosa Rita Butterfield said that. No one blasted her about her lesbianism, even though she taught queer theory at a university. No one blasted her,
right.
But they just loved her and talked about the gospel and sin, and it just took her there. And so I think, that's what I'm trying to do, but I do think we struggle with that. So I think the gospel is first, but also inviting those helps like your ministry provides. Those things are absolutely invaluable and saved, literally, in one sense, saved families in our church who could not speak about it even.
Yes.
And they needed that speaking, because sometimes when you can name the demon, the healing can occur.
Yes.
And there was healing, even though there was brokenness and heartache and death and these things that we don't want, but there was still healing, and the Lord still got a victory in that thing.
Yes.
And in our mess and in that sin and grace struggle. So, yeah, I think we need to work at clearing it up and providing avenues like to your ministry that people can go to and be clarified. Because I do think, like you said, we don't take enough time to look at something long enough to Yes. really understand it. It's so emotional. When things are too emotional, people can't get clarity. But once you're real clear on something, well, then you have to decide what you're going to do about it.
Also, too, I think an abundance of men and women today, including those men and women in ministry, some have the view, well, I couldn't possibly help someone with that form of brokenness because I've never had that issue in my life. Well, whoa, just a minute. Let me speak to this personally. 31 years ago, when I surrendered my life to Christ, I entered church for the first time. The senior pastor and the associate pastor of the church, I was the first individual they had ever met coming from that form of brokenness and that community. And these two incredible godly men, they didn't blink. They had never read a book on coming out of homosexuality, never gone to a conference or a workshop. They believed in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a life. And they discipled me. Thank God, I am the recipient of true discipleship. These men poured their lives into me, and they were larger-than-life role models, for lack of a better expression. Their lives spoke volumes to me, and it had profound impact. And I really do believe, to a large degree, I'm here today because of those that did not withhold truth from me and discipled me. And I'm so, so, so grateful to so many.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, in regards, again, to the church. Do you have any specifics in terms of what we can do as the church to improve our reaching to what I would label, really, in many respects, as a vast, enormous, and virtually untouched mission field called the gay community?
Yeah. Well, I think what you just talked about in your own discipleship that you receive when you came into the church is what has to be happening in the church. Because I think the homosexual and gay, the same-sex attraction struggle is out there in the corners of our church. And if people that are in the center of it that know these people are being discipled, they'll have a much higher tendency to reach to them.
Yes.
So I think it's a very personal issue. I don't know that we need a new plan or a new denomination. We got nearly 700 in America. I grew up with those. But people that care about other people and build bridges to them, making sure they know that they're loved, making sure they hear the gospel and that they know Repentance is a normal part of discipleship. We all do.
Yes.
We all fall short. You know, Romans 3, we all are sinners. So I think those basic mechanisms of the church, discipleship being the center focus in that community of faith and worship and those critical main things that we're supposed to be doing well occur that you can encourage. So probably we need to encourage more of that. And I do think what you said about confidence, that a lot of our people, even those with sons and daughters that are in that and struggling with that, sometimes don't feel confident like they have anything to share. I think you're exactly right. And it's just easier not to. So I do think that's occurring in spades out there. It's just rampant that people just, I just don't want to say anything. Let me call an expert up. We're such an expert culture. Let me call an expert up. I'll call Philip. He's the expert, right? And we acquiesce to our fear.
I would submit, too, that for an abundance, if not the majority of men and women that are struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction, they're really hoping, they're looking to connect with someone that will love them. Mm-hmm. That the argument is not the focus of winning the argument. Do they really genuinely care about me? That's where I believe many men and women are looking. And love, really, in reaching these individuals speaks volumes. It's a major, major turning point. And thank God, once again, speaking to this personally, when I entered church for the first time, that was exactly what transpired in my life. Mm-hmm. These men and women knew where I was coming from, but once again, they loved me unconditionally, and it made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
A big
that's
difference.
It. It's pretty old school, but that's it.
It's pretty basic, don't you think? Well, let's continue on and let's consider, and we visited this the last time you were here, that in terms of scripture, there are no scriptures whatsoever that validate, endorse, or encourage homosexual practice. God's been very, very clear in his word that this is one behavior, not unlike many others, that no one is to practice. Now, there's where I still find myself today, taking a step back, scratching my head, thinking, well, case closed. Done, right? Not so. It seems today, boy, I'm telling you what, pro-gay theologians and apologists, they have revised scripture to the point that, I mean, you twist scripture hard enough, you can pretty well make it say just about anything you want to. But the common thread from beginning of Genesis through the end of Revelation, God's very, very clear that his intent for human sexuality, in terms of sexual expression, is only to be expressed between a man and a woman in the context of lifetime marriage, a lifetime commitment. And really, what I see, for all faithful followers of Christ Jesus, in terms of sexual expression, we've got two options. One is a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, and staying within those well-defined holy boundary lines. And option two really revolves around a question. And here's the question. Are you single? Yes. You are not to be sexually active, period. Now, Pastor Tim.
Yes, sir.
Go around the world and preach and teach that little number. And I guarantee you that even in certain Christian circles today, that's not well received.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And it is such a cultural myth. Again, we have this pop culture that creates all these myths, and the myth that I cannot control my sexuality, I cannot control anything, I'm a victim. All these myths that are circling in the soup of our culture helps fortify. I was thinking of a conversation I had with a man that struggles with homosexuality, and I remember 10 years ago talking to him, and he was clear that the biblical teaching was, it's not right. I fast forward, I met not long ago with him, and he said, well, you know, they figured out that the Bible doesn't teach that. So it was kind of funny that he actually was living out their very movement of our culture and the struggle in Christianity to send a clear message of hope and yet not compromising. And so, yeah, he voiced it to me. And I was, really?
Amazing. Amazing how the scriptures have been rewritten and revised once again to accommodate and validate homosexual practice, but it's a clear contradiction of scripture.
Yeah, and you know, and it's also 20 centuries of teaching of the church. It's just in this century. And you're talking all of the church, East, West, Protestants, the whole lot of us, you know, close to 3 billion now. It's never been taught. So this is a blip on the screen. So I think in historical context, it's absolutely, in one sense, ridiculous.
And let's just consider for a moment same-sex marriage. Throughout Scripture, every biblical example of marriage defined by God is a man and a woman. There are no biblical guidelines, if you will, for same-sex marriage. Why? Because it was never, ever God's intent.
Absolutely.
But there again, we have an abundance of men and women today that are twisting and revising to support same-sex marriage, but it's not recognized by God.
Right. Yeah, you can't. It's not a good practice to cut and paste the Bible. You might cut and paste on Word doc, but not the Scriptures. There's a lot of that going on.
And you know, really, and I shared this with some friends even yesterday, I really don't believe for one moment, when we all stand before God and give an account of our lives, I do not see God the Father at any one point saying, "Hey, how many homosexuals did you get saved?" But I do see him saying and offering this: "How rightly and correctly did you offer and use my word?" Mm-hmm. Now, there are those today on this subject matter in particular that often use God's word as a weapon. We're not to beat people over the head with the Bible. It simply doesn't work. But we do have a responsibility to share his truth and then let that individual make their own decision. We cannot make people choose rightly as much as we would like.
Yeah,
but we can't make that happen.
Yeah, and I think if the Holy Spirit is drawing someone and you're participating in that, it's a great privilege. The Holy Spirit's drawing someone to faith, and if they happen to have that lifestyle struggle, that you're able to give them what they need and not too much, that it give them the room to digest and the Holy Spirit to work on them. And so I do think there is a pace.
Yes.
And that sometimes we try to usher people into the kingdom too quick, and we get prematures and aborted things that shouldn't be happening. We should be a little more confident that God is also at work.
When we've done all we know to do, at some point you got to take a step back and say, "You're God, I'm not. I'm trusting you to do the rest."
Right.
The Holy Spirit's alive and well, and I don't want his job.
Yeah, yeah. We trust God's sovereignty. Somebody said, "I go to sleep on the pillow of God's sovereignty every night." Yeah, man. I believe that. That's good. That's good stuff.
Pastor Tim, we're almost out of time once again. Northside Community Church, what time are your Sunday morning services?
9:30 for the summer. We went to a 9:30 service.
Excellent. And how about your website?
www.insidechurch.com.
Wonderful to have you. Thanks so much for your friendship of many years and the ministry partnership. For all those listening, thanks so much again for being here. I hope you'll join us again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.